Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Winter Solstice, whatever it is. We're just glad you could join us here tonight on Christmas Eve Eve. Yes, you heard me right. We are, what, some may already, he's making faces. I'm here 30 seconds, Tony's already making faces at me. Hey, welcome. Good evening, truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow occupying your Christmas Eve Eve airwaves here tonight, your public Christmas Eve Eve airwaves tonight from beautiful K-Talk AM 1150 out in Los Angeles, where we have, we got unseasonably warm weather just to rub it into you and the rest of the country. No, you actually want, what's that?
Wait till Christmas Day.
Oh, it's going to be like 80 degrees tomorrow. Yeah, it's going to be 80 degrees tomorrow, but the rest of the country, hopefully you're snuggling up tonight. Preparing for the big Christmas weekend. And listen, it is a Christmas miracle. Here's the miracle. I've got nothing but good news for you tonight. I know it's weird. It's strange. Turn on the Mike Malloy Show. Some guy's got good news for you. I got good news for you. One breaking story after another. I thought it was going to be a slow night. Christmas Eve. Well, no. Christmas Eve Eve. I got to remember. Okay. I thought it was going to be a slow night. We've got all kinds of breaking news that have been breaking all day. Got a lot of it covered at bradblog.com. Even more as I was coming over to the studio tonight. So, as I say, snuggle up. Make yourself a nice cup of hot cocoa. Christmas cheer, if you prefer. Pop some popcorn. Some amazing stories to tell you tonight. Lots of Republicans imploding for some odd reason across the country. Really, some amazing stories. You also, by the way, stop by our chat room. We will be open for business all night long at bradblog.com. If you sneak over there, you can get some preview about what we're going to talk about tonight as well. But otherwise, go over to bradblog.com to the chat room. Say hello to the lovely Dez, who is moderating tonight. I think Emo Probs, Lava Q, Tim, Tim from L.A., they're already in line, so stop on by there. I will try to get to your phone calls as well tonight. That phone number, when you need it, will be, you ready? Get a pen. Go ahead. I can wait. Okay, got it? Good. That's our phone number tonight, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Use that number. Don't use the regular Malloy number. Leave them alone. They're on holiday. They will be back next Monday, though. You needn't fear. So you just got me tonight to warm you up on a chilly Christmas Eve Eve night. And the great Tony Sorrentino, who is our engineer tonight, as ever, he's even got some lovely Christmas music for you. So see, it couldn't be better. All right, what do we got tonight? Man alive. All right, well, as I was saying, I was a little bit worried earlier in the week. I was like, you know what, who wants to, Friday night before Christmas, you know, I could come in with my usual, angry rants about these crazy people in this crazy world, but nobody wants to hear that on Christmas. I mean, but, so what am I going to talk about that's not going to just make people crazy? And, well, it got suddenly easier. Within the last 24, even the last 12 hours, it became so much easier. And even coming into the studio, I'll give you just one piece here on the way over to the studio. Breaking news from CNN. Rick Perry, governor of Texas, will not be on the ballot in Virginia in the primary election. Why? Because he couldn't get enough signatures on his petitions that he turned in. His signatures, he fell short of the required number of signatures to get on the petition for the Republican primary in the great state of Virginia. great job, Rick. Terrific work. And if you can't get on the primary ballot with all the money that you have, Rick Perry, if you can't get on the primary ballot in Virginia, we're supposed to think that you can organize your administration to get this country back on track? Are you crazy? Meanwhile, up in Wisconsin, they're having no problems getting signatures on their petitions to recall Scott Walker, the governor up there, to recall Rebecca Clefish, the lieutenant governor up there, and, oh, I think, I don't know, three or four Republican state senators who they're also trying to get on the ballot for recall in 2012. And we're going to actually be talking to a guest about that in the next hour, Lori Compass, the woman who this was awesome, the woman who took on Scott Fitzgerald, the speaker, what is he, the Senate Majority Leader, who's been running around along with all the other wing nuts, telling people that Democrats are committing voter fraud. They're fraudulently Mickey Mouse and Hitler are signing the petitions to get Scott Walker on the recall ballot. Of course, they are not. There is no evidence of it. It's complete and utter hooey, as usual. And this woman, Lori Compass, actually took on Scott Fitzgerald, the head of the Senate out there. His brother, by the way, I think his name is John, is the head of the House, the Assembly out there. So these two brothers are running the entire Wisconsin state legislature. Anyway, she took him on and demanded an apology for his claims of voter fraud. And she's going to be joining us tonight to tell us how that's going. Did she get her apology yet? And, oh, how many hundreds of thousands of signatures, more than they need, will they end up getting in the active exercise in democracy out there called Recall Scott Walker up in Wisconsin. So that's just some of the good news. Believe me, buckle up, because we got a lot of it tonight. It started to look, the week started to turn. It looked like it was going to be a dark week. Looked like, I don't know, I'm going to have to come in and, you know, play choral arrangements or something all night Friday night because I got nothing good news to talk about. And then things started to fall apart. At least for the Republicans, at least for John Boehner, who, this is remarkable. Talk about overplaying your hand. And this may be the only piece of non-breaking news. So you probably know about this. I've got breaking news ahead. Don't you worry. And big, important breaking news. But I wanted to get this one in because this seems to be, as the week was going on, what is John Boehner doing to himself? Who is running that Republican caucus in the House? Even Wall Street Journal, Karl Rove, Senator McConnell, excuse me, Senator McConnell was coming out against the House Republicans for stalling this. Well, they called it a payroll tax cut. But Democrats, can I talk to you for a minute about framing? Yes, you can talk about the fact that, the Republicans are against this payroll tax cut, this tax cut for millions of Americans. Why don't you think like Republicans? Because I'll tell you how the Republicans would have handled this. I'll tell you how Karl Rove would have advised you if he was working for the Democrats. If Frank Luntz was working for you, you Democrats would have been out there yelling and screaming about how the Republicans are trying to hike taxes on the American people, how the Republicans want to raise your taxes, how they're fighting for a across-the-board, call it the Republican tax hike. Don't say, oh, they're trying to stop a tax cut. Do what they do. The Republicans want to raise your taxes, because that's exactly what would have happened had not John Boehner folded in a pile of Boehner. We'll just call it that for now. Had he not folded this, and I don't know if you saw this press conference, but this poor John Boehner was the only one there. Did you see this press conference? He was the only one there. Usually, you know, he's got Eric Cantor, he's got all these other Republicans behind him, you know, showing their support, showing how they're all together on one team. They left poor John Boehner flapping in the wind. Everyone went home for Christmas, and they're like, this is on you, John. Go for it. Good luck to you. And he had to go out there by himself and say, well, you know, we fought a good fight. We did the best we could, but, Well, actually, what he actually said was remarkable. You got that queued up, Tone? I don't know if you heard this speech. I don't know if you heard Boehner. Well, first he said, you know, sometimes it's hard to do the right thing, and sometimes it's politically difficult to do the right thing. But, you know, when everybody called for a one-year extension of the payroll tax deduction, when everybody wanted a full year of extended unemployment benefits, we were here fighting for the right things. May not have been the politically the smartest thing in the world, but let me tell you what, I think our members waged a good fight. So I saw that news breaking yesterday. I saw what he was saying. And then I saw the way he concluded this statement. And this is pretty much the Republican Party in a nutshell. John Boehner said this.
Why not do the right thing for the American people, even though it's not exactly what we want?
You got that? Why not do the right thing for the American people, even though it's not exactly what we want? In other words, they don't want to do the right thing for the American people, but hey, why not? It's Christmas, and we're out of ideas. We've got no other plans. I'm looking like a jackass, and so why not fold? Why not, he said. There you go.
Why not do the right thing for the American people, even though it's not exactly what we want?
Of course. God forbid you should do the right thing for the American people, John Boehner. Well, thank you for doing it, no matter what it took. We won't be a Scrooge. We won't be a Grinch round here. We'll just say, Merry Christmas, John Boehner. Way to go, brother. But it gets worse from here, or better, depending on how you may look at it. Some breaking news from the Department of Justice tonight concerning photo ID restrictions in South Carolina. Stay tuned for much more. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show. It is your Christmas Eve edition of the Mike Molloy Show with Brad Friedman, me, of bradblog.com, in for you all night with nothing but Christmas miracles. And I didn't have to make these things up, man. These things were delivered. Most of them came in on my iPhone on the way over here. I mean, it's just that good tonight. I'll give you a little preview. A judge in Indiana has ordered that the Republican Secretary of State of Indiana be removed from his job immediately, decertified, and replaced by a Democrat. Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't call this good news, but out in Ohio, the federal government, the EAC, the United States EAC, has found that the ES&S paper ballot op scanners, you know, the ones that I've been talking about for years and years and years, turns out they have now concurred with people like me that, yes, the paper ballot systems used in Ohio, Florida, New York, Wisconsin, they lose votes. They just drop votes, just lose votes, just don't count votes. Huh. Who would have known? Who could have guessed it? Who could have predicted it? Oh, yeah, I did. All right, so we're going to talk about that ahead. What other kind of good news do we have here to get out of the way in our short segment here? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, actually, one point, when we went to break, I was talking to Tony, our engineer here, and he was not completely clear on the math of what actually happened this week and who was in favor, you know, because the media reports it, Fox News reports it, Boehner, he folded to the Democrats in this payroll tax cut deal. No, it was in this tax hike deal that the House Republicans were trying to do, and he didn't fold to Democrats. He folded to Democrats and Republicans because it was an overwhelming majority over in the Senate to do this two-month extension to avoid the tax hike that the Republicans in the House were working to bring to middle-class Americans, 160 middle-class Americans. and to end their attempt to end unemployment benefits to 160 middle-class Americans. So it wasn't Republicans versus Democrats. It was House Republicans versus Senate Democrats and Senate Republicans. So let's just get the math there right, okay? Okay. It's not always right and left. Sometimes it's right and wrong. And, oh, by the way, the fact that all they could do was a two-month extension, the Republicans had already won on this thing. They had already won over in the Senate by saying, okay, it's only going to be 2 months. Oh, and we're going to force the president to decide on the Keystone XL pipeline, the dirty, filthy pipeline that'll go all the way from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, down to the Gulf of Mexico and bring us a total of about 50 permanent jobs. Oh, and also we ended the light bulb ban. There is no light bulb ban, but we ended it. These are some of the things the Republicans got out of this deal already. And yes, 2 months from now, we'll have another hostage crisis, courtesy of the Republicans, as they have to renegotiate the deal for the next year. So, anyway, I just wanted to get you straight on that math. And thankfully, the GOP attempt to raise taxes on 160 million middle class and even rich Americans who pay payroll taxes, Democrats have been able to avert their tax hike at Christmas that they had hoped to do. Okay, really, I promised before the break that I would go into the breaking news on the Department of Justice, which has now nixed the photo ID restrictions at the polling place in South Carolina. There's a Christmas gift for you. There's your Christmas miracle. Many more miracles straight ahead. Brad in from Molloy. Stay with us.
About you, decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't mean a thing if you're not here with me.
You are here with me. You know, some radio shows may just, you know, throw you the wolves on Christmas Eve. Not us here at the Mike Molloy Show. We are live tonight on Christmas Eve. True, it's not Mike, it's Brad. But, you know, that's almost as good. Second best, right? No reruns here. Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show on our big Christmas Miracle broadcast, or Christmas Miracle broadcast tonight. Glad you could join us. Do stop on by the chat room. It's starting to fill in now. I know it's a quiet night out there, but it's starting to fill in over at bradblog.com. Come on by. Say hello. Join the fun. Meet Dez under the mistletoe. There, you know what I'm saying. Okay, we're continuing with our good news. I told you, let's go to this Department of Justice, because this is great news. The Department of Justice, you know what, Tone, you got that LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson. You got Lyndon Johnson nearby. You got, this was Lyndon Baines Johnson back in 1965 when he was speaking to the joint session of Congress about the Voting Rights Act, the beloved Voting Rights Act that was finally passed in 1965 and beloved by all, even at least until 2006 when re-upping the Voting Rights Act in 2006 was passed unanimously in the U.S. Senate, signed by George W. Bush. And ever since then, Republicans have been trying to undo it. Well, here was Lyndon Baines Johnson back in 1965 on the moral issues and the constitutional issues about the right to vote.
There is no constitutional issue here. The command of the Constitution is plain. There is no moral issue. It is wrong, deadly wrong, to deny any of your fellow Americans the right to vote in this country.
A rousing round of applause for Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1965, saying it is morally wrong to deprive any of your fellow citizens the right to vote. Oh, that was then. This is now. As Republicans across the nation have been putting into place these photo ID laws, these photo ID restrictions, claiming there is an epidemic of voter fraud going on. There is not. There is nothing like it. There is concerns about election fraud. Oh, and there are Republicans apparently committing voter fraud in the state of Indiana, like the Secretary of State of Indiana. I'll get to that soon. Man, is that a... Talk about a white Christmas. Stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, the Republicans have been trying to institute these voter suppression laws across the country. And since taking control of legislatures in 2010. They've passed these in about 12 different states. It's going to affect about 5 million different people. But we've got some great breaking news tonight. In southern states, and a few non-southern states that are covered by the Voting Rights Act's Section 5, when new laws are passed, new election laws are passed, they have to get pre-clearance from the Department of Justice before they can be enacted. And that's because these are our states or jurisdictions within states that have a history of racial disparity, of racism, of, you know, keeping minorities from being able to cast their legal vote. So, in some of the southern states that have passed these reprehensible photo ID laws that are unneeded, uncalled for, and will do nothing, absolutely nothing, but disenfranchise tens, if not hundreds, of thousands of legal voters, in some of these states, the DOJ has been looking to decide if they're going to offer preclearance to these laws. In South Carolina, in Texas, down in Florida. Well, we got the good news today out of South Carolina. The U.S. Department of Justice will block the voter ID provisions of an election law passed in South Carolina earlier this year because the state's own statistics demonstrated that the photo identification requirement would have a much greater impact on non-white residents. The DOJ said in a letter to the state on Friday. Talk about burying the good news. Way to go, Department. You guys finally do something good out there. I didn't even realize we had an attorney general until Eric Holder gave a speech on voting rights last week at the LBJ Library. Who knew? So you finally do something good and you bury it on a Friday night, a holiday weekend? Oh, brother. Anyway, they did something good. The decision places the federal government squarely in opposition to the types of voter ID requirements that have swept through mostly Republican-controlled state legislatures. Officials in DOJ's Civil Rights Division found a significant racial disparity in the data provided by South Carolina, which must have changes to its election laws pre-cleared under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. Because of a past history of discrimination. The data demonstrated that registered non-white voters were 20% more likely than white voters to lack the specific type of photo ID required to exercise their constitutional rights, according to the DOJ's letter to South Carolina. Quote, put differently, although non-white voters comprised 30.4% of the state's registered voters, they constituted 34.2% of the registered voters who did not have the requisite DMV issued identification to vote. Non-white voters were therefore disproportionately represented to a significant degree in the group of registered voters who, under the proposed law, would be rendered ineligible to go to the polls and participate in this election, according to the letter. So, they have nixed, for now, the photo ID restrictions in the state of Carolina. voters will once again be able to vote legally and freely there, unless, of course, South Carolina decides to challenge the law to go to the Supreme Court, or to make changes to it, perhaps modify it. But for now, very good news tonight from the Department of Justice, and it signals what they are likely as well to do in Texas, where just a few weeks ago, the Department of Justice sent a letter also with questions similar to the ones that they had sent to South Carolina a few weeks ago, saying,
it looks kind of to us like this is going to be racially disparate.
So I think they're going to block that. So we'll see what happens in Texas. I think this is good. This is why it's good to have a Department of Justice that is not completely and entirely compromised. Yes, they are fairly compromised, but at least they're not completely and entirely compromised as the Bush Department of Justice was when they rolled back all of these things that had once been stopped by the Voting Rights Act. They actually allowed a similar photo ID to go through in Georgia. Another one went through in Indiana. Indiana is not covered, I don't think, by the Voting Rights Act, but it was in Indiana in 2008 where the first photo ID restriction law was approved by the U.S. Supreme Court in Crawford versus Marion County Board of Elections, I think is the name of the case. We'll just call it Crawford. But so in the Crawford case in 2008 in Indiana, they found that, yes, they could institute a photo ID law so long as those citizens who didn't have a photo ID were given one for free at the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles. And so the argument goes, they have plenty of DMVs in Indiana, so there's no problem at all. People, anybody who wants to get a photo ID for free can get one. It's not a poll tax because I can get one for free. Never mind that they may have to arrange a ride to get to the DMV, you see, because they don't have driver's licenses. So they can't just drive to the DMV. They have to arrange to get there, probably during work. They probably have to take off work. They have to find somebody who can drive them, or they're elderly and they're disabled, and it's, you know, very difficult to get there. This was meant to disenfranchise elderly, students, minority voters, make no mistake about it, those voters who tend to vote Democratic. And yet, in 2008, the Supreme Court of these United States allowed this law to go through. And every law that has been passed for these photo ID laws around the country has been modeled on that Indiana law from 2008 that was approved by the Supreme Court in the Crawford case. Now, in that case, in that Crawford case, and we wrote about this last week at bradblog.com, our own Ernest Canning, crack legal analyst at the Bradblog, wrote about this. That case left some doors open, for a plaintiff to come back and bring another case concerning photo ID, because essentially in Indiana, the plaintiffs were not able to show that anybody would be disenfranchised by this law. Well, in fact, they were. And if you go to Bradblog, you'll see articles about nuns, 80, 90-year-old nuns who were kept from voting in 2008. Sisters who had voted at their own convent, the poll workers there were fellow nuns of theirs. They were turned away by their fellow nuns in 2008, not allowed to cast a vote because they didn't have a driver's license, because they're 80, and because they're nuns. And they're living in a cloistered life here, and they don't have to drive around. And they were not allowed to vote. World War II veterans were not allowed to vote back in 2008. So, yes, people were disenfranchised in Indiana. However, when the case was brought to the Supreme Court, it was not that case was not made to the justices. So the door is open for someone to get back to the Supreme Court, and they might get back to the Supreme Court via Wisconsin. But no, I'm not going to go there just yet. Next hour, we'll talk some Wisconsin. Now, I want to talk about Indiana, where this law passed, this voter ID law, this photo ID restriction that allowed all of the other ones that have come after it to follow. State of Indiana. Breaking news out of the state of Indiana yesterday afternoon. The Republican Secretary of State, the chief election official in Indiana, in the state that was the first to bring the photo ID restrictions that are sweeping the nation now by Republicans. The Republican Secretary of State has been ordered removed from office and replaced with his Democratic challenger from 2010. Why? Well, because that Republican Secretary of State is facing 7 criminal felony charges right now, including 3 of them for voter fraud. As it turns out, the Indiana Republican Secretary of State is charged with voter fraud, 3 counts, because he was registered to vote in some place in which he did not live. And yet he cast his vote anyway. And, oh, it wasn't caught by photo ID restrictions, was it? Somehow, he was able to get rid of it. And because he wasn't registered properly, he was not allowed to be on the ballot, the judge has ruled. More on this in a moment. Stay with us. Out of all the reindeer, you know you're the mastermind. Rockford, Rudolph. You know who won't be home for Christmas? Charlie White, the Republican Secretary of State of Indiana. At least he won't be in his old home. His old home where he was registered to vote. The home that he didn't actually live in, where he had moved out, left his wife there, moved out, remarried, bought a condominium elsewhere, but stayed as a registered voter at his old house. Why? Well, among many reasons was Charlie White was still working for the Fishers Town Council, and he wanted to keep collecting the salary for the district that he no longer lived in, even as he ran for Secretary of State of Indiana, which he won last November 2010. Or at least he thought he won. He received more votes than the second place contender, a man by the name of Vop Osili. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. That was the Democrat in Indiana. But Charlie White won. Problem is, Charlie White had committed voter fraud. Republican Secretary of State of Indiana, Charlie White, committed voter fraud. He didn't live where he said he lived. He didn't vote in the right precinct, and he didn't care. And, oh, Indiana's photo ID law did not catch Charlie White, did not keep Charlie White from committing voter fraud. So Charlie White is now facing 3 counts of voter fraud, 7 criminal felony counts overall for his misbehavior in a criminal suit. But meanwhile, yesterday, in a civil suit where the Democratic State Party has long been challenging Charlie White's right to serve as the Secretary of State, you see, because he was not a legally registered voter when he was on the ballot, which made him, therefore, ineligible to be on that ballot. They've been challenging this now for months. They were challenging it before the election. And the State Recount Commission, who looked at this originally, which, by the way, it's a 3-person commission. One of those commissioners, Secretary of State Charlie White. Anyway, he recused himself in this case. And the State Commission, originally, they wouldn't even look at the case. They threw it out. They threw it out entirely. I believe it's 2 Republicans and 1 Democrat. They threw it out entirely. It was a split decision, that one. The Democrat wanted to look at the case. 2 Democrats didn't. They threw it out, and so the Democratic Party went to a court of law, and the judge made them reconsider the decision back at the commission, back at the recount commission. The recount commission looked at it, and by a 3-0 vote, they said, no, it was fine. Charlie White was perfectly eligible to be on the ballot. The Democrats then appealed that back to the court, and as of yesterday, Marion County Circuit Court Judge Lewis Rosenberg has ruled that he was the Charlie White, the Republican Secretary of State, was inappropriately on the ballot in the first place. Therefore, he has ordered the recount commission to decertify Charlie White. He cannot be the Republican Secretary of State because he was not a properly registered voter when he committed voter fraud in the first place. He will be, he was illegally on the ballot. Therefore, the next highest vote getter in that 2010 election, Democrat Vop Isili, has been ordered to be certified as the Indiana Secretary of State. Just in time for 2012. Now, the Recount Commission has said they're going to challenge this law, or challenge this ruling by the federal judge in the civil case. But in the meantime, the felony criminal charges go ahead. And if, in fact, he is found guilty of any of those felony charges, I believe that case will come to trial in January. Charlie White will face those seven felony charges, three of them for voter fraud. If he's found guilty of any of those felonies, he cannot serve as the Secretary of State. Of course, in that case, he'll be thrown out of office if he's not out of office already, and the Republican governor out there, Mitch Daniels, will get to appoint his replacement, which means it'll likely be a Republican. But for now, if the civil case court ruling holds up, there'll be a Democratic Secretary of State there. Thanks, in any case, to Charlie White's voter fraud in the state of Indiana, the Republican Secretary of State, the chief election official who committed voter fraud in the state that was the model for the voter suppressing photo ID laws now sweeping the nation, and tonight at least being swept back by the Department of Justice, who has said, no, South Carolina, you can't disenfranchise minority voters that way. We ain't going to let you. It's a good news Christmas miracle, Christmas Eve show right here on The Molloy Show. Much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Molloy.